Welcome, everyone. This is the Tooele Rural Planning Organization Zoom meeting held at 1:30 p.m. on Monday, June 8th. And we appreciate everybody joining. And let's see here. And you decide you wanted to do roll call.
Yeah, you want me to do that?
Please, that would be terrific.
All right, I'm up to 18 so far. I assume you're hearing me all right. I've got Wayne Bennion, Kip Billings, Jim Bolzer, Kim Clossing, Grant Farnsworth, Paul Hansen, Pat Calise, Kayla Kincaid, Juan LeSpradlin, Brent Marshall, Tom Tripp, James Waltz, Lisa Zundell, and Andrea Pearson, and John Savage. Did I miss anyone?
It looks like a couple more people have joined, yes. Do you want them to announce their names or type it in the chat?
Up to you, Wayne.
If we've got a couple others, if you'd announce your name, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Putting it in chat would be good too. Jay White is just added. I didn't have him.
And Paul H is another one I see.
I called a Paul Hansen.
Okay, that's probably him then.
Yes, that's me.
I'm not sure who Jay White is.
Would Jay White unmute himself or herself for just a minute?
Is that Jaime?
Jaime? Welcome. And did you get Jim Bolzer?
I did.
Terrific. Thank you, everyone. Any comments or corrections on the meeting minutes from 9th of this year?
I thought the minutes looked good, Wayne.
I make a motion to approve.
All right. That's Mayor Marshall with the motion. Do we have a second?
Tom Tripp. Oh.
Thank you, Commissioner.
I thought they were going to die for lack of a second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Terrific. Those will, and any opposed? And those minutes will stand approved. My apologies, Janet. I didn't hear your name correctly, and welcome, Janet. Let's see. All right. Now, we'll turn some time to Lisa Zundel for the second item, the continuation of the review or the discussion on Grantsville's CMAQ application. And I am going to put a brief summary of the applications that were received. I'll share my screen here. All right, Lisa.
Thanks, Wayne. So as you all remember, we got applications for two different locations of sidewalk in Grantsville, as well as a potential park and ride just to the east of Grantsville. All of those submitted by Grantsville City. At the last meeting, I believe it was the last meeting, maybe it was the one before that, we approved moving forward with the two sidewalk projects. We're looking to gather some additional information on right-of-way and things like that for the park and ride. Part of the right-of-way, I'll just go into some of the details on that. Part of the discussion was that part of the right-of-way for that park and ride was owned by UDOT. UDOT is willing to allow the park and ride on our property, but is not willing to sell the property. So that would be either through a lease or possibly a permit. We've done park and rides through both mechanisms, and we would need to determine the best mechanism to do this one through if it is approved. That would allow the park and ride to be built at least within the portion of the property that belongs to UDOT. The property that was identified, part of it belonged to UDOT and part of it belonged to another owner, which we haven't identified as of yet. So we believe the first phase of the park and ride that was the 100 stalls would likely fit within the portion of the property that is UDOT owned. And so in discussing with the mayor, he wanted to continue to move forward with the pursuit of this project if the RPO approved those funding expenditures on that. I do want everyone to know that in the RPO plan, and Wayne, that you can correct me here if I state this incorrectly, in the RPO plan is there is a widening for SR 138 identified through this section that UDOT may at some point need that property for. That widening is currently in phase two, so the 2030 to 2040 time range. As you know, each time that the long range plan is evaluated, those phases can change based on need in the area. So, but that is where it currently sits today, is in the 2030 to 2040 frame of phase two.
And Lisa, I looked at that over the weekend, and I understand what you was saying about widening of the road, but currently there is nothing that impinges on that property technically on the south side if the road needed to be widened out that way rather than with the property of the park and ride.
Thank you, Mayor. That is something that could be looked at the time of widening. Typically, we'll try and keep the center line of our property and widen to both sides, but that doesn't have to be the case. And so it's something that could be looked at the time of widening, but I just wanted everyone to be aware that there is a widening project identified in the long range plan currently in phase two. Along with that, so there was 470,000-ish, I believe, that was being asked for that park and ride. Each year we program about 367,000 through the RPO that's allocated to Tooele County. So that would take a full year's funds plus about another 98,000 for the 2021 funds. Just to give everybody an idea of where the funding would be. So we'd have about 270,000 left of the 2021 funds that we would still need to program with this year's submittals, or if we chose to skip year and combine 2021 and 2022, we could look at doing that similar to what you asked. Wayne, is there anything else you want to add to that?
No, I think... thank you. That's good background and context. And so we would be interested in hearing thoughts from the RPO, those in the meeting today, as to whether you'd like to recommend the remainder of the existing funding through FY20. Lee mentioned that's about 300 50,000, and whether you'd like to recommend that along with about a 98,000 from FY21 funding for the park and ride, or if you have additional questions, also we could have some discussion on this request, given the information that Lisa's shared and given the information Grantsville presented at the last meeting, and that's also on the screen here. Would love to hear any questions or comments.
Well, I'll give you a comment, Wayne. Those of us that reside here, the park and ride that we have at the west end of town by our Public Works building is utilized fully during the week. And the overflow for those commuters catching UTA vans and the connection points are currently spilling over and into the church parking lots, one on West Street, and then there's been some on the church on Clark Street, as well as a couple of them do their pickups in the grocery store parking lot. So there's a tremendous need. There's not a park and ride on the east end of our community. The east end of the community has been the end that has grown probably the most in the past 5 or 6 years. This would be a great asset for the UTA service because it is a direct route going toward Stansbury or to the new Mid-Valley Highway as it gets completed. So I foresee this park and ride as being a spot where there can be a lot of commuters that could congregate there and catch buses, which would certainly improve our air quality and take some of the traffic off of the road. So I'd be willing to answer any questions if anybody had any.
All right.
And I'll just throw in my two cents, Wayne, as long as you're doing, you know, the county really does have a high level of carpooling, more so than many. We have some businesses that organize those on their own. We have some other individuals that do it. So park and ride is well utilized in the Grantsville community.
Thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate that. Yeah, that came up last fall, and that's what the census data shows is, or American Community Survey, that Tooele County has a higher average for Utah, higher than average carpooling rate.
I have a quick question. This is Kim. Is there any thoughts on first and last mile go into this park and ride that include active transportation?
Would you mind repeating that question? I wasn't able to hear entirely.
So the park and ride in Grantsville, is there possibility of first and last mile for active transportation from there as well?
Mayor or James? Would you not answer that?
I believe that you could put, especially if there's going to be a widening project done in the near future, you could certainly put in that bicycle lane. When we proposed the park and ride location, we never thought about that. It wasn't on the radar. I was just trying to find a location where people could meet up and catch rides so that we didn't have as many cars on the road.
All right. Any other comments or questions on the proposed park and ride, or any clarification needed on the proposed funding?
No, I don't.
All right. Lisa, anything else you'd like to point out?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay. Yeah, so given that discussion, anyone care to make a motion?
Well, I won't let it die for lack of a motion. I'll make a motion that we approve.
Okay. Sorry.
I'll second that. Tom Tripp from Grantsville.
All right. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
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 And any opposed? All right, that will stand approved then, a recommendation to UDOT that the CMAQ funds, or that's request for about $450,000 of Tooele Valley CMAQ funds be approved. And the next steps will be to get both the two sidewalks and the park and ride lot on the both the Transportation Commission agenda and the Transcom agenda with Wasatch Front Regional Council, and then we can proceed from there. So anything else on this topic? Hearing none. We'll turn the time over to Juan for a Mid Valley Highway and I-80 auxiliary lane update.
Hi, everyone. How are you? Okay. Mid Valley Highway, we made a lot of headway. The surcharge at the main I-80 interchange, that is complete, and we are starting the clock on that. So hopefully we are projecting up to a year. So about this time next year, we'll be back to do the remaining work. But in the meantime, we've also been doing work along the corridor, placing surcharge at the cattle crossing. That's also nearing completion as well. Over the weekend, you will probably have probably noticed that we have been removing the temporary signal there at SR 36, 138 and Sheepley, pardon me. But we are also getting ready to do more work. We were going to do the work at Sheep Lane connecting Mid Valley into SR 138 and Sheep Lane next year, but we've decided to move that work up and complete the work this year. So we're getting ready to have that in place. Probably later this month or early next month. That involves taking SR 138 down to one direction. It'll be controlled by temporary signals about half a mile apart on either side of Sheep Lane. Similarly done to the east this summer for that PED underpass that the county was doing. And there will be some paving and tie-in work along Sheep Lane as well. And that will impact the traffic there for about 3 weeks. So total of this configuration coming up will take us about 6 or 7 weeks of traffic disruption. Any questions there?
Any questions?
Yes. Go ahead.
I had one. You got the laneway that comes off from the Mid-Valley Highway that ties into 138 east of Sheep Lane?
It is a... I'm not sure of the question.
Well, I was just wondering what that road is that ties into 138 and then it'll tie into the Mid-Valley Highway.
Oh, that is Parachute Lane. It's where once... we call it Parachute Lane, but it's basically... We are teeing the old 138 into Mid-Valley.
Oh, all right. I wasn't sure. I that's why I was asking.
It'll line up with where Skywalk is planning their development. So their entrance will be across from that.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that clarification.
No problem. With that, we still, everything is moving well. So the contractor plans to work throughout the summer, and then in the fall, we'll have a shutdown and won't be back until next spring. So, but having this work at 138 tie-in moved up, I'm sure everyone will be excited about that. At least we'll see something ahead of schedule and also something new that we can use. And that is all I have. Oh, since I'm updating, I might as well update on I-80 and the Ada Lane project. Well, not Ada Lane. The extending the lane from 201 to SR 36. Sorry, westbound direction. Work started last week, and the switchover went pretty well. There was a little bit of backup for a few hours, but that was all resolved. And if anybody have any comments, let me know. And the contractor for that is Sunt. And they bid 150 days. So we will be done in the fall, in the first week of November.
Any questions, additional questions for Juan on either Mid-Valley or the westbound auxiliary lane on I-80? All right, thanks Juan. That's good to hear progress and appreciate the information there. Pat, thanks for joining us, and we'll turn time to Pat for the I-80 structures update.
Yeah, so we are proceeding forward on the bridge deck for westbound I-80. We're hoping to make a bridge deck pour here on that first bridge deck for westbound into next week, early following week, and then switch traffic, start the traffic switch right after July 4th, and start. It's going to take a week or two to get the traffic switched completely. Just we'll switch westbound over, build the transition phasing tie-in points there, and then switch eastbound over, and then start demolition of the eastbound bridge and proceed forward with the eastbound construction. I don't know if you saw or not, we did a little bit of work on SR36. We put some panels underneath the bridge a week or two ago. And we'll continue that work to finish up the sides either this week or next week. We should have that, the rest of those panels, and then there's a little bit of coping that goes on top of that, some concrete cap on top of those panels. to tie that in, and then some barrier left over there at 36 that we'll be doing here in the next couple weeks. But you should see some the grades coming up around the bridge as well, and we'll pave, you know, hopefully we're looking to pave right before July 4th, right after we pour the bridge decks there for I-80 westbound. So it might look different here. Should look different here in the next month or so. Out there, get driving over the new bridge and get off the old bridge and get the temporary bridge out of there as well. So it's kind of where we stand right now.
Terrific. Thanks, Pat. So both eastbound and westbound will be traveling on the on the new eastbound bridge. Is that correct, in about a month or so?
The new westbound bridge, yes.
Sorry, I mean the new westbound bridge. Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. No, you are correct, Wayne.
Hey, if you haven't tried the eastbound temporary bridge, it's a great launching pad. If you've driven on it, you'll know. But thanks, guys. Thanks for the hard work.
Any additional additional comments or questions for Pat? It's nice that a lot of work been happening there, so thank you. Let's see. Just wanted to give a 5 minutes each to Kayla Kincaid in regard to the transit feasibility study, and then Grant Farnsworth in regard to the East Area Corridor study. And we'll go ahead with Kayla.
Hi, everyone. Many of you probably don't know me. So my name is Kayla Kincaid, and I'm with UTA in their long range and strategic planning. I have some big shoes to fill following Levi. So taking over this transit feasibility study has been exciting, and I just want to thank, I see some familiar faces and familiar names, and so I just want to thank everyone that's been helping out and participating in this study. So we had a stakeholder meeting last Thursday, and we went over some projections that are going to need a little bit of cleanup in terms of population growth and employment growth that the consultant is working on, and we're kind of circling back around. We were potentially looking at some alignments, but due to some projections, we're going to be changing those a little bit. There hasn't been any mode decisions in terms of transit yet, but it goes from everything from kind of the smallest mode being micro transit all the way to commuter rail. So certainly a lot of options that we'll be exploring. And so the next steps are going to be looking into, rather than just kind of broad alignments that are actually on the road or not on the road, and potential modes associated with that. So putting together some alternatives for the area. And if there's any questions, I'd be happy to take those.
Any questions for Kayla? Thank you, Kayla. Grant.
Thanks, Wayne and Kayla. So we, since our last RPO meeting, we've had our kickoff meeting. And next week on Thursday, we're having our goals and objectives and problems and opportunities and discussing those. We've had some kind of preliminary meetings about those. The team has been creating their existing model for the area. Their gate counts before traffic reductions were in place. So that's fortunate. Then we're also part of what Kayla said about growth. We're coordinating with the traffic projections. We make the traffic projections in accordance with the Kearney Policy Institute's, but we understand there's a lot of things, uncertainty with the referendum about what is in the future. A part of the project was to also do some sensitivity of different builds of growth patterns, and so we'll be reaching out to different members of Grantsville, the county, to kind of create that sensitivity land use assumption. If we have some bigger builds than what's in the long range plan, what's been adopted, just to kind of get a, like I said, a sensitivity test of what that could change. So our team will be working on that and coordinating that with the transit team, and making sure that we have the correct assumptions to back up what that to that sensitivity test. So we'll be relying a lot of your knowledge of what developments are being considered, the land uses that are being put in place, understanding that those might or might not be approved, or it might be later on down in the timeline. You know, it's always difficult to foresee, but that's why it's a sensitivity test. And so that's where we are currently. Also, a reminder that we were previously looking at more of a countywide focus, but we see a lot of value in potentially focusing on the Willett Salt Lake connection area near Lake Point, where we're doing something called the Planning and Environmental Linkages process, where we do a lot of the NEPA work early on so that we don't have to repeat this study and regurgitate all the work that's been done, but we can kind of be expedited in the process, takes account into public input, and it helps us understand some more defined concepts for that area. And we think that's an area of high interest within Tooele County, and so that's why we're focusing on that area. That means that we won't have as the budget to do the remaining, look at all the remaining areas throughout Tooele County. We are still working on a few concepts internally within UDOT for some other areas, but we won't be able to look at it because we're looking more closely and in depth in just that area. Hopefully, and we're planning on doing that so that we can have some ideas of understanding if there's a consensus for our, evolving around certain ideas, or if there's a lot of work that still needs to be done and what those potential costs could be. So that's the direction that the study has changed to. Are there any questions about any of the information? I've gone over quite a bit.
Any questions for Grant? All right, thank you, Grant. We'll look forward to that meeting on June 18th. And to Kayla, that was a good meeting last week as well. And let's see, do we have either Jeff Miller or Rochelle Custer available? They had requested this last item on the agenda for access.
Is Janet White still on?
Looks like it. Janet, any word on Jeff or Rochelle?
Wayne, Janet typed in the chat that they were both unable to attend.
Okay. We'll postpone that item until next meeting. All right. Anyone, I've got a couple items of other business, but would like to hear first from others if they've got anything.
I've got something, Wayne. The widening of Burmester is in phase one to be widened. I did mention last week the U of U is assisting the Army Reserve out of Fort Douglas to relocate out to Grantsville and annexing in approximately 35-40 acres part of that is because they will be, they're close to Dugway and they'll be training out there. I just wanted to put it on the radar that we're, that might possibly happen.
Thank you, James. Appreciate that. Let's see, other items of business. All right. I wondered if either Commissioner Tripp or Paul Hansen would like to give a brief recap on a Joint Highway Committee meeting that was held about a month ago, or bring up any information that was shared at that meeting.
I haven't got very good notes, Wayne, so aid my memory of what it was we talked about.
You're fine. Paul,
that shoots down my argument, too. I was going to yield to the good commissioner, give him my floor time.
No worries. There was a lot of material covered at the meeting, I think the main note I want to share with the RPO was that it sounds like UDOT will be accepting applications this fall for small urban, federal small urban STP funds, and also for the federal non-urban STP funds. And if I understand correctly, that application period will open October 1st, and applications will be due the second Friday in January. So that was the main note I thought I'd like to share. And I guess there's a new cap on the small urban program, a new cap of $1.5 million instead of the previous $1 million per project. Or in other words, any entity, a public agency, can apply for up to $1.5 million on a single project in the small urban program.
Those are the two items that I had on my list, so I agree.
Okay. Thank you. I'm glad I caught that. Also wanted to ask if there's interest for the next RPO meeting, if there's interest in receiving a presentation on the relative road usage charge program that state legislature directed UDOT to administer. Basically, it's a pilot program where they're experimenting with highway users being charged per use rather than through the traditional means. Wondered if there's any use or if you'd like to hear about that road usage charge program.
This is Paul. I think it's always good to hear the discussion so we know what may be coming or how to respond.
Okay. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Kim. Appreciate that interest, and we'll see if we can work that in to one of these next RPO meetings. Also wanted to note for future meetings, please watch for agendas and meeting calendar invites coming from Andrea Pearson at the FRC office. She'll be sending those out in the future. At least make a mental note that you can watch for her name much of the time rather than mine. So,
okay.
And with that, the next, unless there's any other items of business, the next meeting is currently scheduled for September 14th, Monday, September 14th, same time, and we'll play it by ear as to whether that ends up being an in-person meeting or a virtual meeting or teleconference. If that sounds all right. If anybody has any preference, we'll keep in mind. Well, thank you, everyone. Any last call for any other items of business?
No.
All right. Appreciate your participation today, and glad that there's interest in advancing these CMAC projects, and we will go with that. Commissioner Tripp, Mayor Marshall, are we good to close?
I'm good.
I don't have anything else. Thank you, Wayne.
All right. Thank you both. We'll and thank you, everyone. We'll stand adjourned, and appreciate again everyone's patience. Till next time, be safe.